We continue our learning of the Nishmas Dovi ben Menachem Shem Chaim Yaakov Pepitchas Uliyo. We are in Kalim Perichah Vav Mishnah Zayin. Kol makom she'ein chesron malacha machshava mitam asan. Mishnah gives us the general rule. In fact, we go back to the 25th parak, the previous parak. We said kol ha'kelim yordim lidei tumas tama machshava. That all kelim descend into tuma, which means they become susceptible to tuma through machshava. The machshava is able to bring a kli into a status of being mekabel tuma. We mentioned that. You want to get it out of that status, you need to do a masa. But in order to make it susceptible to tuma, machshava is sufficient. The Mishnah is coming to teach us, though, that even machshava will not turn the kli into a status of its susceptibility to tuma unless the kli, that vessel, is fit at that time for its utility. And there's no other masa that's needed in order to fulfill that particular machshava. So the Mishnah here says, "Kol makom shein chesron malacha, then machshava mitamasa." If you're telling me that I have a piece of leather, let's say, and there's no other masa that's needed in order to make it usable, it's a hide, it's a flattened, it's trimmed, whatever it needs to be. So then you machshava to use it as a mat, let's say, as a rug. So then it makes it a kli that it's susceptible to tuma. But v'chol makom sheyesh chesron malacha. But if there's something lacking, there's still a masa that needs to be done in the kli. People would not use it as a rug in such a situation. So then ein machshava mitamasan. So then machshava alone will not turn it into a kli to make it susceptible to tuma. Machshava alone is not sufficient if the kli is not a kli that's ready for shemesh, that's ready for use in the state that it's in. Then, but the Mishnah gives an exception. Ela ha'utzba. Utzba is a piece of leather that you put on when you're riding something. Let's say you put it on the saddle. So that's something that even if it's not fixed, it's not trimmed, a machshava enough will turn it into a kli, and it's susceptible to tumah. That's because, and whatever tumah, talking about midras and other types of tumah as well, because people will use that without trimming it, without fixing it, because all it's being used for is to cover a saddle. But generally, maybe other items that may fall into that category. But generally speaking, machshava is not enough. The kli has to be made into whatever could be. You have a piece of leather. So a piece of leather could be trimmed, and then afterwards, maybe you can make it into a leather jacket. Person's machshava that I'm not going to make into a leather jacket, I'm going to use it as a rug. As long as it's fit to be a rug right now, the way it was cut and the way it was trimmed, so that makes that machshava alone is sufficient. We don't have to say, well, to be the leather, you can make it into a leather bag, into a wallet, into whatever it is. No, you don't have to wait for that. The machshava is enough. But at least you need it. The masa is needed that it looks like the kli that you let your machshava is planning to use it for. The itz utzva, this saddle piece of leather, and maybe other items like that, where people are not makpid on them being so trimmed perfectly. So then machshava alone will be sufficient, even if it doesn't look like a finished kli. Perech Avav Mishnah Ches. Oros Baal Habayis. So this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. We're really just elaborating upon that principle that we outlined in the previous Mishnah. When it comes to a Baal HaBayis, someone who is not a tanner, someone who's not selling the leather. So since he doesn't plan on doing so, and he will fix it or trim it, the pieces of leather for different uses. So a machshava to use the piece of leather the way it is, as long as there's no chesron malacha, as we said in the previous Mishnah, so then they're mekabel tumah at that point. But vishel abdan, but if it's a tanner, if this is someone who's planning on selling these hides, ein machshava tamasan. His machshava, his thought, his intent to use it the way they are, that doesn't help for them now to be mekabel tumah, because there's a good chance that since he's a tanner, he plans on and he may sell it, he may change his mind. You know what? I'm not going to use this as a rug myself. I'm going to sell this, someone's going to make them into shoes. So therefore, it doesn't have a gemar malacha, and it's not mekabel tumah. Therefore, the oros of El Abayis, machshava mitamasan, but the oros, the leather hides of the abdan of the tanner, are not, machshava alone will not turn them into a kli. Others explain that it's just simply because an abdan or an uman, someone who's a craftsman, he doesn't usually use kelim that he plans on selling. I'm going to use it for myself, I change my mind, I may sell. If he's planning on selling, if there's a chance he's going to sell it, that's in its own cellar, it's in his own storage place, and he's not going to use it for himself. If that's true, and he doesn't want them to get ruined, if he's going to use it himself, okay, so it may have a defect, not a big deal. But if he's to sell it, it can't have a defect. Therefore, a machshava to use a hide the way it is will not turn it into a kli and make it susceptible to tumah, because the likelihood is that he's not going to use it for himself. It's going to be sold and to make it into a leather bag and made into a wallet and make it into shoes, etc. Then the Mishnah says, shel ganav. Oros of a ganav. This is discussed at great length in Maseches Bava Kamma. We'll discuss that a little bit in a moment. If you have hides of a ganav, someone stole leather hides from someone. Machshava mitamasan. If the ganav has a machshava to use them the way they are, the machshava of the ganav will actually turn this hide into a kli, a rug, a mat, whatever he plans on using it, and it therefore now has the status of a kli for the purpose of tumah. You may think, what do you mean? He doesn't own this. Maybe the owner doesn't plan on using it the way it is. Who is the ganav to make that decision? So the answer is, based on a famous principle, stam geneva yish bailim. We assume that the average case of ganav, unless we know otherwise, we assume that the owner gives up hope. Since the owner does not know who who stole, we didn't say gazela. Gazela is where you see the person in front of you. So you know who potentially you could claim and bring to court. A ganav is someone who stole in the middle of the night. You have no idea. You never saw him. So stim stam ganeva, the assumption is you'll never be able to bring him to court because you don't even know who he is. You'll never find him. So we assume the owner gives up hope, but there's yush, there's despair of ever getting him back. And therefore, the ganav makes that kinyan. Of course, the ganav has his own mitzvah to return that which he stole. But in the end, to pay back, you have to pay back double. But the kefel. But nonetheless, he does make what we call the kinyan in Geneva. He becomes, so to speak, the new owner of that item, and he doesn't have to return the item. He can return, in fact, because of yish, he can return the value. So since now he's the new owner, because the owner gave up hope, his machshava, the machshava, the ganav alone, is enough now to cause this kli, to give it its status of this piece of leather, rather, to give it a status of a kli, assuming the ganav is the one who decides to use this the way it is. But vishel gazlan, but the hides of a gazlan, someone who stole in broad daylight, you see it right, the victim saw the gazlan right there. Ein machshava mitamasan. His machshava does not help. Because he does not give it a status of a kli, because stam gazela, because the average case of gazela, there's no yiyush. Bailam knows who the gazlan is. Eventually, I'll find him and bring him to court. And therefore, I didn't give up hope on my item. So the gazlan has no ownership, has not acquired. There's no kinyan gazela. There's a kinyan ganeva. So they if it's a ganav. And since there's no ownership of the gazlan on this hide, so his machshava has no bearing on its status as a kli. Rabbi Shimon Omer chiluf havdvarim. Rabbi Shimon says it's actually the exact opposite. Shel gazlan machshava mitamasan. In fact, when it's the gazlan, there the machshava of the gazlan does cause this to become a kli and makes it susceptible to tumah, assuming he wants to use it the way it is. Vishel ganav. And the case of ganav, the machshava does not cause him to become a kli. Why? Because the owner does not give up hope. What's the difference? So when it comes to a gazlan, so Rabbi Shimon says, I think it's just the exact opposite. Think about the logic. The gazlan, he's stolen broad daylight. I'm petrified of him. And obviously, he didn't need to steal in the middle of the night because he's more powerful than I am. So I'm afraid of him. There's no way I'm going to bring him to court. So therefore, the owner gives up hope when it comes to a gazlan. A ganav, clearly the guy's fearful of his life. That's why he wouldn't steal in broad daylight. That's why he came to my house in the middle of the night. I'm going to go through the trouble, try to find who this guy is. I'm not afraid of him. He obviously was afraid of me. And therefore, I don't give up hope on this item. So it's the exact opposite of that which the Tanakhama said. The Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yudal and Aleph discusses this machlokas the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, and there's a qualification. In fact, there's a comment of Ula, and we'll see that Rabba disagrees. Amar Ula, I quote from the Gemara there. So Ula says like this: Machlokas Bistam. Where did the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon argue as to, in terms of the God over the Goslin, we see which one is their Yish, which one is their not? That's Bistam. Stam means I don't know if the owner gave up hope. If you don't know if the owner gave up hope, then you can assume the following, says the Tanakama: by Geneva, the owner gave up hope, by Gazela, not. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the reverse, we assume by Gazela, the owner gave up hope, and by Geneva, not. That's all Stam. If you're not sure, follow the principle you have in the Mishnah. Avol biyadua, but if you know, which means you found out that the owner gave up hope, Ganava the Goslin, then Divrei HaKol Yirush Kona. Then everyone agrees, you knew the owner gave up hope, then everyone holds Yirush's Kona. If the owner gave up hope, then even Rabbi Shimon would agree that a Ganav is Kona, and his Machshava will affect the status of this piece of leather and turn it into a Kli. And a Tanakama would agree that a Goslin, although normally if you don't know, we don't assume there's Yirush. In this case, you heard there's Yish, so then we assume that the Goslin acquires it. Everyone would agree that if you know the owner gave up, you heard the owner gave up, you said, "Vai, oi, woe's to me, I lost my item, I'm never going to get back, it was stolen, whatever." Then, if that's Yodua, everyone holds Yish is Kona. If Yish is Kona, the Ganav and the Goslin, no matter who you hold like, it makes an acquisition as the new owner, and therefore his Machshava affects the status of the piece of leather. That is Ula's comment. Rabba Omar, Af Biyadua Machlokas. He says it makes no difference. Even if you heard that the owner gave up hope, Tanakama will say, by a Goslin there's no Yish, only by a Ganav. And Rabbi Shimon says, by a Ganav there's no Yish, but by a Goslin there is Yish. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And says Rabba against Ula, this applies not only Bistam, where you don't know if the owner gave up hope, even if you know the owner gave up hope. You know why? Because the Tanakama will say that when it comes to a Goslin, where we assume that there's we don't assume that there's Yish, because remember he thinks he can find him. Even in a case where you know the owner gave up hope, the Ganav, we have to assume that the owner, even though he gave up hope, he's going to try to find him anyway. Doesn't mean if he can somehow get that gazela, that item out, he's going to do so. And the same thing when it comes to Rabbi Shimon. We don't assume by a Ganav that there's Yish necessarily, even though you heard there's Yish. I heard he gave up, but he said, oh, well, I'm never going to get this back. He still may try to get it back. So that's the Machlokes, Ula and Rabba. Do we say, if it's Stam, we follow the rule in the Mishnah. If it's Yadua, you know the owner gave up hope, Ruula says, well, then everyone agrees that whoever you are, the Ganav or the Goslin, you now own it, and your Machshava makes a difference. And Rabbi says, not true. Even if you know the owner said, whoa, I'm never getting it back, it doesn't matter. You follow the rule of the Mishnah. So Abaye said to Rabba, I'm a lawyer, Abaye LeRabba, you can't argue on Ula. The Mishnah here, our Mishnah here, in Kalim, Perachafa, Mishnaches, teachers like him. What does the Mishnah say at the end? The last words of the Mishnah is Mipnei Shalonis Yashua Bailim. So the Mishnah says, you know why the halacha is the way it is? Because the owner didn't give up hope. That's why the Ganav of the Goslin, whoever you according to whichever opinion, does not acquire it, and his machshava doesn't matter. That implies avalim is yashua balim harelu shalom. The assumption, therefore, is the implication of the Mishnah is if you know the owner gave up hope, you heard the owner gave up hope. So if there's yush, so then it belongs to the Ganav of the Goslin, and the Ganav of the Goslin's machshava will decide whether this is the status of this piece of leather. So Amar Lo, so Rava said back to Abaye, Anachnu Shonim the Mishnah. We have a different gears of the Mishnah. Lefi She'ein Yiyush Lebalim. Our Mishnah has the garrison of Pnei Shalonis Yashua, being Papa, because the owners did not give up hope. We assume the owner didn't give up hope. And therefore, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. But says Rabbi Tabai, we have the Girsa, not Mipnei Shalonis Yashua, but rather the Fi She'ein Yish Lebalim. What does that mean? We assume that the owner did not give up hope in his heart. And that means that even if you heard him say, oh, I give up, I'm never going to get this back, don't believe him. Depending on the God of the Gospel, we assume that in whichever case we said there's no Yish, it's not just that they're, oh, I didn't hear him say, I give up hope. Even if you heard him say, I give up hope, if it's the case where you think you can get it back, whether it's a God of or a Gazim, depending on which opinion in the Mishnah, we assume in your heart of hearts, even if you said, I give up hope, you don't really mean that. And that's why, according to the Gersa that Rabbi had, L'shelonis Yashua Habaylim, we assume that they did not give up hope in their heart, even if they said that they did. So therefore, the halacha would be, even if you heard them say they gave up hope, the same machlokas in our Mishnah applies.